Welcome to Just a Podcast, where something as simple as just a podcast, God somehow uses in amazing ways. I'm your host, Ethan Russell. If you would like to support us, you can go to yowkno.com. That's YOWKNO.com. We got all kinds of merch, previous episodes you may have missed, as well as bonus content you can only find on yowkno.com. Thank you for stopping by and enjoy the episode. Bang, bang, it is your boy Ethan Russell here. Today we got an amazing episode once again. It is going to be about salvation. And of course, as you guys are probably used to now, I gotta have my key points, so I got my two key points. The first one we will be attacking is the license to sin, the fact that a lot of people these days think salvation is now gives you the license to sin. You can sin without any harm, nothing. I can do whatever I want. Thanks, Jesus, for letting me do what I want. Right? They think that's what freedom is, and I'll get into that in the later episode. And the second point is I have to work for salvation, which is also not true. And I think as I've been doing these episodes, we've kind of revolved around this whole concept. Obviously, salvation is the center. Well, Christ is the center, and what he did is the fruit of his labor, right? You know, that is all the center, and all this revolving around, this is probably the biggest thing we all revolve around, and that is the core of salvation through Jesus Christ, you know, who died on the cross and rose again. And of course, if y'all don't know, you go to heaven when you put your faith and trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all it takes. You don't need to work as hard as you can for it, and you also don't need to use it in a way to say, okay, I can do whatever I want. Let's go do some very sinful, selfish things. That's also not what it says. And that's what we're going to be going on throughout this episode. It's going to be an amazing episode. But before we go ahead and do that, you know, I like to introduce my website, give y'all updates on that. So it is officially done. The only thing I'm working right now is the e-commerce. I have one merch item up there. It's just a t-shirt of just Jesus fishing on a modern boat, catching some swordfish. And then it's a salt life that we are doing God life, and just to revolve that concept about, you know, Jesus Christ. And of course, it has a nice Bible verse. You guys can look that up yourself, you know, give y'all something to do. And of course, if y'all want to buy it, by all means. And we have a discount code if you want to purchase it. It gives you free shipping. Discount code is simply discount, all caps. That's the code. Just put discount, it will give you free shipping. We should have the actual e-commerce up probably September 7th or September 6th. I'm just waiting for the item to come to my house, and I can make sure it looks good and, you know, acceptable for me to put out there and make sure you guys can purchase it as well. But yeah, let's go ahead and get started on this episode. Our first Bible verse, and actually just might be the most important Bible verse in relation to my two points. Again, that is license to sin and work for salvation, is going to be Romans chapter 7, 15 through 20. I'm doing it in NLT, which is my preferred translation. And I will note, if you're doing NIV, it is very hard to read. Just go ahead and look at it. You'll see what I mean. But let's go ahead and start it, starting on verse 15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing the wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. And you see, basically, in this verses 15 through 20, how it's really just someone, they're describing their heart and the two things grabbing for it. On one hand, you have the selfish desires of sin and their past, and it's just, I want to sin. I want to indulge in the pleasures of this world. And on the other hand, you have the renewed spirit of Jesus Christ, which you clearly can tell because it says multiple times how he desires to serve Christ. But at the same time, I have these habits. I have these other things that I don't want to do, and yet I still do it because of the sinful nature living within me. And a lot of people will look at this, specifically those for the license to sin, those that believe that, and they'll kind of be confused. They won't accept one or the other, whether there's a reason to license to sin or that's just not true. They'll just look at it. But I think very clearly it says that there is no license to sin. And my proof in this is the fact that it says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways." If you are saying or believing in a license to sin, then that's a lie, because it says right there, your desire as one that is saved is to serve God. That's your desire. But at the same time, you have the sinful nature clinging to you. If your heart is on sin rather than Christ, I'd argue your salvation because of this verse right here. Where your heart is what it's attacking. Now, this is, of course, when I'm going back to now people think, work for salvation. That's also not true. You don't work for salvation. The work, the fruit, is, of course, the fruit of salvation. When you work, there is fruit coming out of it. When you plant a tree, right? The roots of that tree is salvation. The fruit that comes from the tree, that is the work. It's the work. And that's the fruit that comes from salvation, right? And it says right there, I want to do what is good, but I don't. And you see, that's kind of the confusing part where people are like, okay, but he doesn't do good. But you see, that's not really what I'm attacking. What I'm talking is the desire part. You'll eventually do good, just like you'll eventually, you know, do these other things in life. You'll do it, but you see right here, it's the desire of his heart to do good. And if you truly desire to do good, then your focus is not going to be on a license to sin. Rather, it's going to be a focus of how to get out of sin. And that's clearly what is seen in these Bible verses of Romans 7, 15 through 20. It's someone who is struggling and trying to get away and run from sin. That is what's clearly being shown. Now, if we, of course, go back to the concept of faith, not through obedience, rather it's because, you know, of course, we're saved through faith, right? Faith and belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is how we go to heaven, right? He saved us through death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. And we put our faith in that. You know, we believe that. And when we believe that, we put our faith in that. And we follow Christ, right? We don't stay where we are. We come as we are. We move with him, right? We walk with him. Right, it doesn't say stay as you are, it says come as you are. And that, you'll see that through many different Bible verses, and I'll get through that in a later section. But now I'm going to go ahead and run into Galatians 2, 15 through 20. And what this right here is talking about is basically Peter and Paul were arguing about, just traditions within the Jewish laws. And basically they're saying, okay, some of these Jews right here, they're saved because of this tradition and this, but it's this. And Paul is like, no, you're saved through Jesus Christ. But I'll go ahead and that's the context. Again, it's Galatians 2, 15 through 21. Just look in the previous parts and you can get that context more. But I'm just going to go ahead and read this and we'll go ahead and reflect from there. But again, that's Galatians 2, chapter 2, 15 through 21. Again, on verse 15, you and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. And I will mention this is Paul talking to Peter. But yes, it says, you and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be made right with God because our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. And then he says in the next paragraph, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. It says that, exclamation point. Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner. If I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemns me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I may live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave me himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there is no need for Christ to die. And that right there is just like, drop the mic. I mean, Peter's gone, right? Peter, I mean, cool guy. I mean, he made some mistakes, but right there, I mean, just drop the mic on Peter. It's gone. And that was a big problem at the time. You know, Jews were like, okay, but this is how we were saved. This is where I was saved. The thing with Jews, just quick note, Jewish tradition and the law in of itself, it was never meant to be 100% fulfilled. And of course, these people cling to Jesus Christ because they knew they sinned once, they were not going to heaven, right? A lamb or whatever, a offering, does not mean you can go to heaven. All it does is, quote unquote, make you pure and spirit and mind. But who says the split second after offering, who's to say that the split second after that, now you sin again and you sin again? And so that's the huge confusion with Jews. It's like, okay, but you just gave an offering, but you just sinned 10 seconds after it. You see, what offerings are is a testament to Jesus Christ and his offering. It's a display of the love of Jesus Christ before Christ came. It was an example of how the Son of Man is to come and sacrifice himself for us. For there is no greater love than to die for one's friends. Right? And Jesus said that himself. And that's exactly what he did. And all of that, right? The resurrection of Christ and him condemning himself and rising again would be worthless, and it finishes it off, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there is no need for Christ to die. Right there, it just exposes that lie flat out. And I read the previous part so you can get the context and all that stuff. You know, the fact that, you know, it is through faith in Christ that we are saved just as much as believing in Christ. But it's faith alone and belief alone, nothing more. When you have your faith and you're planted in Christ, that's all you need. You don't need anything. You don't need to be working and doing any of this. It said right there in verse 17, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Right there it says Christ was not the reason you went back to sinning. In fact, I argue that someone going back into sin was because they never were saved at all. They may have felt Christ, as many people do. You know, the Spirit of Christ can come upon people anywhere, right? And I bet millions and millions of dollars, 100%, that people have felt Christ and are not saved, right? And I'll go ahead and go later on into the episode where it says, you know, you guys probably know the verse of, I never knew you. And I'll go ahead and explain that later on the episode. But it's just, it's that pointing to in that part right there. It just describes that. But let's go ahead. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I'm going to go ahead and move on to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And, or I would also like to mention, our fruits of our labor don't give us salvation. Rather, the fruits of our labor is the byproduct of salvation. It's the fruit, not the root. And I mentioned that previously, but I have to mention that again. That is what's clearly being shown in Galatians 2, 15 through 21. But moving on to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things He planned for us long ago. And that is sort of, now we're getting to the arrow of what's the pointing at, and it's pointing towards Christ. Everything in the Bible, the love story, Old Testament, New Testament, all points to Christ. You saw the sinful nature of what you previously were, right, in Ephesians chapter 2, right? You see that, right? It mentions sinful nature. You were previously in that, and I went over that when I went over Romans, right? You heard how the sinful nature is, I want to do this, right? That's my desire, right? I desire God, and yet the sinful nature keeps on bringing back. These people right here, right? The people who desire sin run back to sin. And that's because of the devil, the commander of powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. But we all obey God, as it says, all of us used to live in that way. Used to, that's past tense. All of us used to live in that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our own very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And that's why I'm going to go ahead and go back over to Romans chapter 7, just past verse 20. And I should also mention, the title of Romans chapter 7, this little section, this little bit, is titled Struggling with Sin. Meaning someone is so desperately trying. That's what struggle is. You're trying to do something, yet you can't. That's the definition of a struggle as described here. But if we finish off the rest of Romans chapter 7, this portion is going to be 21 through 24, those verses. It says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And right there, and not just this person's struggle, whatever this person's struggle is, but every person's struggle, even your struggle, whether that sin is so minor or strong, you know, whether it's a lie or you literally murdered people and you had addiction killing people. You see this right here so clearly. You have that desire for Christ. And because of Jesus Christ and your faith in him, your desire for him, your belief in him, right? You're earnestly seeking him. It doesn't matter your sin. That's grace, right? Because of God's grace, he saved you. No matter the sin you did, because you earnestly seek him, even though you have the sin of your past, and even maybe the sin of your current nature, and even your future until you meet Jesus Christ, your sin, even though you have the sin in you, clinging to you, you cling to God and not sin. And you see that right here, because the war is in the mind. It says it right there. But Christ prevailed, and so will you. Right there it says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. You see it right there. And guess what? You can keep on sinning and keep on sinning and keep on sinning until your deathbed. So long as your faith is in Christ and your desire and your heart is to be pure for Christ. Not saying you are pure, I'm saying your desire is to be pure. Your desire is to be with God. Your desire is to seek him earnestly and forevermore. That is your faith in Christ. And so long as you have your faith in Christ, it doesn't matter how long you stay in sin, which will be forever, right? Whether it's addictive or not, you're always going to be a sinner, no matter what. But no matter what that is, no matter the slave you are to sin, which everyone is, you are still saved by the grace and mercy of Christ. And that is the definition of salvation, right? The fact that you desire Christ and you have put your faith and belief and trust and earnestly seek him. And even though you're a sinner, you're saved. That's salvation right there. And that's just beautiful. I can't really say much. I mean, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you on that part. So now we're going to move on to the next Bible verse. I'm going mostly Bible verses on this because I don't really like talking about salvation without 100%, you know, showing these huge paragraphs of Bible verses, you know, so you get the context, you get everything. So we're moving fast through Bible verses. You can only cover so much through a 45-minute podcast episode. And this is also why I say the entire Bible, every verse is a love story of Jesus Christ. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it all prevails through Christ. But we're moving on to James 2, 14 through 25. The title of this, Faith Without Good Deeds is Dead. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on with this. Starting on verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble and tear. How foolish can you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestors, Abraham, was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And it finishes off, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. And it's a beautiful, beautiful little segment right there, because you get both sides of the thing. You get the sinner of Rahab the prostitute, right? It's literally, she's known to be a prostitute. That's her name in the Bible. And yet here it is, says she's saved by her faith. And you look at Abraham, who offered his son, his beloved son, the thing before all nations, the thing that would create all nations, offered God's promise, the thing that God promised him. He is now giving back to God because he's putting his everything into Christ. And guess what? He's a sinner. Abraham had sex with it wasn't his wife, right? He had multiple sins, as we all are sinners. And yet here he is being called a friend of God, right? It doesn't matter what you were doing. It matters what your faith is, right? And the actions, of course, is obviously what we're revolving around here too. The actions aren't how you're saved, but the actions is a completion of faith, as it said, right? Your faith is how you're saved. Now, we do recall, you know, you're saved even if you have a little faith, right? The mustard seed, I forget what the Bible verse, but you guys recall that, right? The mustard seed, even those who have, you know, I forget the Bible verse completely, or else I would say it, but yeah, it doesn't matter. You still have faith. It's very small, right? But you're still saved. But the completion of faith, the continuum of faith, the belief and the trust has an actions of good. You may still be a sinner. Rahab was a prostitute, but she still did good. And those actions of good were because of her faith in Christ. She still sinned, right? She still sinned, right? And if we go back to Romans chapter 7, that person still sinned. We don't know who it is, but that person still sinned. And again, it was struggling with sin. Rahab was a prostitute, struggling with sin, but was still called a friend of God. You see, your actions are your fruit of the labor. Your actions are what shows people and sets an example for others of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Right? And when you give these people good deeds, it's like, man, you should be this sinner, right? You should be this terrible person. And some people may know you as that terrible person. They may know your past, but additionally, they see the grace. And that's bringing light to darkness. As you may hear many times, bringing light to darkness is using what your bad past, your sinful nature, and even using that for good. Right? People may use addictions and help other people get out of addictions because of it, right? They may use their current addiction to help, or their, you know, past addiction to help people in their current addictions. And we see this time and time again, how even the devil's bad has now been turned to good by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's bringing light to darkness. And that's another fruit and action and work of salvation, for that never would have been done if you were not saved. And that's just so true in all this. And now we're going to go to the scary part, and we're going to talk about hell. And like I said, I'm going straight Bible verses. I don't want to misquote anything. And this part I will 100% say was said by Jesus Christ himself. So don't take my words for it. Take his words. So it's going to be Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 27. The chapter of this bit of segment is the narrow gate, and then also the tree and its fruit, and then the next two, true disciples, and the final one, building a solid foundation. And these are four small little mini teachings that God gave, and it's actually rather quick for four segments, but the wisdom in it and knowledge in it is definitely vast and great. So going on Matthew chapter 7, starting on verse 13 and 14, this one is titled The Narrow Gate. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. And then moving on to the next part, which is the tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can produce bad fruit, and or can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And I'm just going to go ahead and stop. This does not mean you judge people and say you're going to hell. What it means is you judge what you listen and you take what is true. The best thing I can say is you don't look at a lie to see what things are lies. You look at what is true so you know everything else is a lie. And as I have shown you throughout this episode, what is true is there is no license to sin, and there's also no works that gets you into heaven. It's Jesus Christ that gets you into in heaven. So knowing the truth, you know the lie. So you look for the good actions of people to not judge their salvation, but to judge whether or not you should accept that information as true, because you know the truth itself, right? Again, as I've shown you through multiple Bible verses and segments already through this episode, you know the truth, what is clearly said in the Bible. And so you're not judging the person. You're not saying, okay, you're going to hell. You're judging whether or not you should take that as true. And but let's go ahead and move on to the next one, which is called True Disciples on verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. And the next part is building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on a sand. When the rain and flood comes and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. That's just okay. So this is rather a lot. This is sort of the part that's like a brick wall for people, aka solid house. So you see, where should we start? Let's go ahead and do the true disciples, where it says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do my will of the Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons, we did miracles, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. So what it's saying right there is basically you were close, right? You did good works, right? And this is why I say you don't judge someone, right? You don't judge someone because of their works on whether they're going to heaven. Right there, you see a list of good works that Jesus himself is saying, hey, these are good works, right? There's a reason this person has boldness in front of Jesus Christ and God Almighty to defend his case of, hey, look at the good I did. I'm pretty sure no one, when they look into the face of God, will say, hey, these are good works and they're actually bad works. No, they're going to say, hey, these were good works, right? If they're good works, they're going to say everything they can do for Christ. But of course, it says, but I never knew you, right? Jesus Christ himself says, but I never knew you. And that's scary. A lot of people are like, but you know what? How did he never know me? I did all these good works. Because it's not works that get you into heaven. It's faith and belief in Christ, right? And it's sad, but it's true. So many people are so focused on doing good in their actions that they actually fall away from God. Or let me rewind, they never knew God, right? So they were so focused on these actions of, I'm doing good for God, I'm doing for God. But they never had faith in God. They never trusted God. They were just doing good, right? And it may have even been in Jesus Christ's name. As I said, I cast out demons in your name, right? And you may have believed, but you didn't have faith. You did not have faith in Christ. You didn't put your trust and everlasting love and passion for God. And so you fell away. You never made the mark. And that is sad. And I pray that all of y'all, you keep your focus on Jesus Christ through faith and belief in him. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't let your actions, even your good actions, slip you up so you never see Christ. And no, I'm not talking about the works for salvation. That's not true. I've said that in this episode. That's not true. What I'm talking about, the works that slip you up, I'm talking about the works that slip you up from being pointed to Christ and pointing to salvation and accepting the faith and accepting the belief, right? Taking the gift of Christ. That's what I'm talking about here. You will slip up if you go on these different paths away from Christ. You see him, but you're rerouting yourself to a different path. And that's what he talked about, Jesus Christ himself, the parable of the seed that fell on different parts of the land. Matthew 13, 1 through 16. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat, then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in forms of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then that's the parable, but just going to explain how Jesus explains this parable. I mean, he explains the parable himself. Well, I'm not going to explain it. Let him explain it. So it says here, starting on verse 10, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they do not really see. They hear, but they do not really listen or understand. And on verse 14, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." And then finally on verse 16 and 17, "But blessed are your eyes because they have seen, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." And I know that was a lot, and it really was a lot, but what God's saying right there, and what Jesus Christ is saying right there, is you're walking on a path, you're listening to God, and maybe you got just a little bit of understanding of what's there, but you have to accept Christ. It's a gift that's freely given. Don't treat it like a coal from Christmas. Treat it like that. Treat it better than an iPhone, right? You know, when you get that gift that you really wanted for Christmas and you get it, it's like, oh my gosh. Treat it like that, y'all. Treat it like the best gift you've ever gotten. Don't treat it like a bag of coal. Accept it. Put your faith in it, or you're going to be astray, and there's a chance you may have not even accepted Christ for whom he is. And I know this is where people sort of question, hey, am I saved? Am I not? And the best way to know if you're saved is simply ask yourself this question. If you could, would you give everything to Christ? Your porn addiction. If it was possible to never see porn again, ever again, would you wish that you never would see porn again? Your alcohol addiction. Getting drunk every other night. Would you wish right now to never be drunk again? Your sinful habits, your desires of this world, that brand new Tesla, or your unsaved wife and kids, would you give it all up for Christ? The ability to never seek anything but Christ, would you wish that right now? And that's why I sort of mentioned the rich man. Y'all remember the rich man who came up to Christ and said, you know, I did all these good things, yada, yada, yada. What do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, give it all, right? And that's really why I'm asking that question. Would you give it all? And this is for even poor people or rich people. It's for everyone, because this is how God judges it, right? Are you giving your all to Christ? Are you putting your faith in Christ? And if you answered yes, I'd say you're saved, because faith is sacrificing yourself and everything of you and within you for a thing. Of course, that thing is Jesus Christ, and the wish is called salvation. And I might as well just end the episode right there, right? But now I got to talk about the people who said no. And if you said no, I'd check your heart and come to the cross as you are, not with works of good or bad, but work a heart that earnestly seeks Jesus Christ as Christ earnestly seeks for you. And if we look at Hebrews 11:6, this is my favorite Bible verse by far. Maybe not by far, there's a lot of good ones, but Hebrews 11:6 is definitely my favorite Bible verse, and it says, quote, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And look, we all know the need for Jesus Christ, a savior, the one who saves us from racism, saves us from climate change, whether you believe it's real or not, he saves us from eternal hell. But not all know they want Jesus Christ. And I hope I showed you your heart and what you desire today. And if it's not faith in Christ, then just know you are love. For there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one another. That's Jesus right there. He said that, and you know, he of course died on the cross and rose again. He died for you. And I'm gonna go ahead and give you a brief segment of my next episode. It's gonna be over relationships, and basically how relationships with friends and marriage is an example of how our relationship with Christ is. And I think that would be a great, great transition from salvation to, okay, now what's the walk with Christ? Now, you can, your walk can be off, but if your faith is in Christ, you're saved. I've made that clear as day in this episode. But I want to sort of spend my next episode on that walk, and that's really what I'm talking about. So my next episode will be over relationships, with friends, dating, marriage, all that stuff. I don't have much experience in that, but what I definitely have experience with is a relationship with Christ. And that's really obviously the point and the key point in that episode that I'm going to be going over. And my heart is for all those people who did answer no to that question. Would you give it all? And I pray that you do. God wants you. He's seeking you. I just pray that you seek him. And just simply seeking him is your faith. When you earnestly seek him, guess what? You're saved. That's faith. That's faith right there. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seeks him. And of course, the reward is what your heart's desire was, and that's salvation. To give it all up, to let this world burn and every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To give it all up and just praise him forevermore. That's my heart desire, and I pray that's the same for you. If you don't, go astray, do your thing, maybe watch a couple more podcast episodes, give me more views, but I pray that you don't. Just seek Christ earnestly. My time's kind of up, so just that's all I can say. Seek Christ earnestly. It's your decision. It's your free choice. God gave you free will. Use it wisely. But that's the rest of this episode. I thank you guys for listening so much. Again, my website is up and running. Probably around September 7th, I'll enable checkout, just depending on how that t-shirt looks. I don't want to give y'all a nasty t-shirt, so I'm gonna make sure it looks good. Other than that, yeah, I thank you guys for listening, and I'll see y'all the next episode. Take care, y'all. Bye. Did you like what you heard? Well, you can always head on over to yono.com and tell us what you think. We also got previous episodes, bonus content, and merch if you would like to support us. So head on over to yono.com. That's YOWKNO.com. Also, don't forget to repost this, like this, and add this to your favorite playlist. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.